Good morning. Please turn in your Bibles to Job chapter 1, and we'll start reading from verse 1 down to verse 5, and then 13 to 22. Job chapter 1, 1 to 5, 13 to 22. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man was blameless and upright. He feared God and shunned evil. He had 7 sons and 3 daughters. He owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and had a large number of servants. He was the greatest man among the peoples of the East. His sons used to take turns holding feasts in their homes, and they would invite their 3 sisters to eat and drink with them. When a period of feasting had run its course, Job would send and have them purified. Early in the morning, he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each of them, thinking, "Perhaps my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts." This was Job's regular custom. Now we'll skip down to verse 13 and we'll read down to the end of the chapter. One day when Job's sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, a messenger came to Job and said, "The oxen were plowing and the donkeys were grazing nearby, and the Sabaeans attacked and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The fire of God fell from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. I'm the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, "The Chaldeans formed 3 raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to the sword, and I am the only one who has escaped to tell you." While he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, "Your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the 4 corners of the house. It collapsed on them, and they are dead. And I am the only one who escaped to tell you." At this, Job got up and tore his robes and shaved his head. Then he fell to the ground in worship and said, "Naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord hath taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised." In all this, Job did not sin by charging God with wrongdoing. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, we thank you for this story. We thank you that you remind us about Job and all the things that happened to him, and yet he saw fit to praise you in spite of everything. We just pray that this morning, as Pastor Joseph opens the word to us, that you would help us to take away lessons that would apply to our own daily lives and the things that we go through every day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Most people would love to be like Job. You say, how come? Well, as a matter of fact, they would spend their lifetime to come even close to what Job had and was. And as we read, and I'll mention later on, he was one of the richest men. Now, Job, his name in Greek is Iov or Yov. In Hebrew, is Iob. In Armenian, believe it or not, his name is Hope. And it's very interesting because hope in English means hope, to hope for something. Job lived in the land of Uz, east of Jordan. He was a blameless and upright man who feared God and shunned evil. As a matter of fact, God, and I'm quoting verse 8, God said to Satan, "There is no one on earth like him." Job was a prosperous man. He had 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, 500 donkeys, and many servants. He was also blessed with a family of 7 sons and 3 daughters. He was the greatest man among all people of the East, verse 3 says. Job, loved his children and was very concerned about their spiritual condition. He would regularly pray and he would sacrifice a burnt offering for each one of them, just in case they had sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Verse 5. I just wonder, though, how many parents today would care enough for their children's spiritual life and conduct and pray for them and ask God's protection and help and sacrifice a few minutes of their time to help them grow spiritually. I was mentioning this to the adult class yesterday in the news. They showed a little clip of children being interviewed by the news media and asked them, why do you swear? Why do you say these bad words? And the kids, they were laughing and they thought it was funny and they said, well, you know, we use them. And then I believe they asked them, did you learn them at school? And they said, no, we have not learned these words at school. We have learned them at home. So what the children were saying, that at home their mother and father or someone else at home is cursing, is swearing, and they are learning, and it has become a way of life. Today's society, even so-called Christians, don't pay enough attention to their children and their vocabulary and their spiritual life and their lifestyle. And they will allow them to do almost anything, not because they love them so much, but often it's because they don't have time, because they are so busy with their own things and their own activities. But Job wasn't like that. Even though Job was an absolutely happy man because he had 10 children and he was a very rich man, and yet he had this burden in his heart to pray for his children. He did not want God to hold him responsible, first of all, for being a father and yet not praying, not bringing them before his throne, God's throne, in prayer. And Job not only would pray for them, but he would offer sacrifices. And I believe if every parent, every Christian, every born-again believer, everyone who claims to be a Christian would sacrifice some minutes, some time, and money, whatever it takes for the upbringing of their children in a spiritual environment, and spend time with them, I believe our churches would be blessed with the presence of the young people, and our future would be guaranteed with their presence. Now, who would not want to be like Job? But one day Job's castles tumbled. And it's not that his castles were made of sand. They were solid castles, if you wish, but even those solid castles tumbled. Enemies stole all his oxen and killed those caring for them. His sheep and shepherds were killed by lightning. The Chaldeans stole his camels and killed their keepers. His sons and daughters died in a storm. He was left with nothing. All his castles tumbled. And we did not read that portion, and that was not all he lost. He also lost his health. And the whole book of Job is full of conversations and friends and people who came to help him. His wife tried to help him, they thought, and yet all they were doing, and they were telling him to forget about God and look what God had done to him. That is, all except his faith. His faith was unshaken. And verse 20 says, Job got up and tore his robe and shaved his head and worshipped God. And even though everything around him had disappeared, his faith was unshaken. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. And when I read this, I remembered what happened to us. And it's not to say how good I am or what how I dealt with the situation. Many years ago, I went home and someone called me to say that your building is burning. And I came running back from where we used to live in Saint Laurent for a very short period of time, and I saw whole building, the store and everything was burning in flames. And I stood across the street and I was watching when, that was a long time ago, Pastor Paul Stevens came in near me and he said, "Joseph, I'm so sorry to see that your entire savings and everything is burning down." And I think it came so naturally. I said to him, "Well, wasn't mine. God gave them to me and he's taking them away." And he prayed with me. And I believe God blessed me after that, because I believe that we have to give credit to God for all we have. How could Job do this? This wasn't logical or natural. Well, let's look at some of the reasons. First, Job saw the Lord as the source of life. And unless we believe that God is the Creator, our Creator, and the giver of life, and the giver of everything we have, we cannot appreciate His blessings. So the first point I would like to make this morning with you about Job is that Job really believed in God. Not said he believed, Job saw the Lord as the source of life. He said, "The Lord gave." Let's not forget that parents are partners with God in giving life. And all life comes from God. Job knew and appreciated the time he had spent with his children was a gift from God to him and the children. All the good times, all the fun times with the family were God's gift. James 1 verse 17 says, "Every good and perfect gift comes from God." And I believe often we make the mistake to think that we have the best possible house, the best possible, we have the best possible children, and we are so proud of having these children, so proud of educating them, so proud of guiding them, and yet we forget that God is the giver. God gave them to us and God has helped us educate them and help them. Now, when we fail to obey God and if we don't help these children, then we have sinned against God by not helping these children grow in His ways. The second point is that Job saw the Lord as sovereign over the length of life. He said, "The Lord has taken away." He is a sovereign God. The Lord gave, the Lord has taken away. Two surprising things about life: its length when death seems near, its shortness when the future seems sure. Our breath is in God's hands, Daniel 5:23 says. Our breath is in God's hands. I don't know about you, but every time I want to pray and every time I feel good and every time I feel bad, I turn my eyes to God or in my mind and I say, "Lord, you are in control of my body. Every molecule, every ounce of blood, every breath I have is a gift from God to me." And when we live in such a state of mind, we appreciate every breath and we do not take for granted every breath, every day that I enjoy my grandchildren, my daughters and my wife and my friends and this fellowship and friends are gifts from God. Yesterday, Brother Philip, my friend, brought two other gentlemen who one I had not seen for, oh my goodness, maybe 50 years, 40 years or so. Anyway, they came to visit me, and believe it or not, we spent about an hour just reminiscing and talking about the old days. We all are from Athens, Greece, from the same neighborhood, went to the same schools, and in our 70s now, we are going back 70 years or 60 years in our life. And I believe this, when they left, I said, thank you, Lord, for this gift of reconnecting to my past and see how you blessed each one of us. Everything we have comes from God, and we must accept that and appreciate. Job understood that life is short at its longest. Childhood seems just like yesterday to us all. I don't know about you, again, I'm talking too much about me, but this morning, I remember the day that I walked through those doors. That was 51 years ago, and I was only 20. And yet, 51 years, Mrs. Ham was about in her 20s when I met her here at Temple. And Emil was a little older, a couple of years older than me. And look, we are now older, not old, Emil, older, and we've been blessed. We're really blessed in his presence. But time flies so quickly. The young people here think, oh my goodness, until I'm 40, until I'm 30, until I'm 50, it's going to be just like a moment. It'll come. Job knew that. It is important to be right with God in all circumstances, although Job did not understand what was happening and why. His faith made him trust God. This is another thing. We often don't understand why this is happening. People don't know why is it. We have an uncle, my wife and Elise have an uncle, who is dying in the hospital for the past many, many, many months. A year in the hospital. And he's in his 90s, right? Older? Older than 90s. Older than 90s. Anyway, 97. And the question sometimes my wife asks, Lord, why are you letting him live and suffer so much? I don't understand. And then you have young people in their 30s die, and they are called them. Why? Well, we don't know the why. I don't know. I, who am I to question God? Who am I to look up to him and face him and say, how come you're letting him live and you took away this young person? He is the creator. He is the sustainer. He knows everything. He knows how I tick. He knows how I think. He knows how what is best for me. He knows why he is letting this person there. Maybe to strengthen someone else's faith, or maybe to give an opportunity to someone to serve him. And there are those who will go there and serve him and help him. We don't know, and yet we accept all things from God. Job did exactly that. The third point is, Job saw the Lord as the same no matter what. May the name of the Lord be praised, he said. It is easy to bless the name of the Lord when things are going well. It is easy to thank God when the family stays together. But Job was able to bless God when his castles tumbled and continued blessing God even when his health suffered. And again, it's very easy to be so happy and grateful to God, and even that we forget very often when we are well. But when something goes wrong, we start complaining, we start calling people and saying, I don't understand why God is doing this. And instead of praising God for even that sickness, I remember long time ago when I was in Greece, there was a family that were traveling. There was only the wife of that family had stayed home. The husband, his children, and everyone else in the car, there were five, had an accident and died. When they came to the lady at home and told her what happened, I couldn't believe my ears when they said that she cried and she said, Lord, give them to me. Lord has taken them away. Now, that takes a lot of faith, I don't know whether that is a reasonable way of dealing with that or it's logical, and yet that's what she did. And then the churches went and talked to her and asked her what made her be so graceful and so grateful to God for everything that she had. Job did not understand, but he spoke by faith. We too must experience life as Job did, one day at a time. Even though we may not have all the answers to all life's questions, we must trust God no matter what. That is very difficult. We to take one day at a time and trust God and accept everything no matter what. Our tendency, or the tendency even among believers, is to always analyze, always explain, always question, and always blame something, the doctors, the society, the food, something, rather than accept God's will in our lives. Job's faith was not based on the wealth and blessings God had given him. That would have been so hollow, so empty. His faith was unshakable. It was built on the confidence that God's ultimate purpose is what mattered. And eventually Job sees that God had his purpose, and his purpose are supreme. God had been faithful in the past. Why should he doubt the goodness of God now? His castles may have tumbled, but God stands. Now, when everything is fine, we don't credit God. But Job looked back and he said, God was faithful in the past. God gave me all I had. Now, why should I complain when God is taking them away? And again, he accepted the fact. He believed that God was sovereign. He could have stopped these things from happening, and yet he allowed these things to happen. God does not, he is a loving and compassionate God. God does not make people suffer. And yet he has allowed us to live a life and be under the natural laws of things of this earth, which is getting a cold and getting a high blood pressure, getting diabetes and all these things. It's not God that is giving us diabetes. Sometimes it is our fault because we abuse the food, or we abuse ourselves or misuse the foods we have. But God is not the one that is punishing us. God will allow things to happen, and yet he is also willing to help us deal with these things. His castles may have tumbled, but God stands. In the last six verses of the last chapter, chapter 42, we see Job's life ended. And we see how God not only saw what happened to Job and how he dealt with all these terrible things and the situation, he also blessed him later on. In verses 12 to 13, we read, "The Lord blessed the latter part of Job's life more than the first. He had 14,000 sheep now, 6,000 camels, 1,000 yoke of oxen, and 1,000 donkeys. And he also had 7 sons and 3 daughters." Now, verse 16 and 17, in verse 16 and 17 we read, "After this, Job lived 140 years. He saw his children and their children of the fourth generation. And so he died, old and full of years." God's love is unchanging today. Have things gone bad for you? This morning, a brother was sharing with me how things have happened in his life. A loved one in the family died. Another loved one, the wife is going through a bad situation, surgery and all that. And there are other things are happening, and yet he is so faithful, and he says, God is in control. Yesterday, I mentioned this to Philip when he was at my place. A gentleman came into our place to do something, and he, instead of just finishing the deal we were doing with his repairs and things, he started sharing with me what he was going through. He said, "My mother has Alzheimer's disease and diabetes, and I don't know what to do. This happened, that happened. I don't know how to deal with this." And he said, "For a few months now, I'm falling apart. And anyone without God, he is not a believer. Anyone without God has the tendency to despair. And even believers, sometimes we give up and despair, and we go through a period of depression. And we must understand that not every one of us is the same, and yet we must also encourage each other and help each other and strengthen each other and just remind each other that God is in control, and God is not the one making us suffer, but the contrary, God is there." If you wish to use the word sympathizing with us, the word sympathy or sympathia in Greek means "I am a co-sufferer." That's what it means. When I say I sympathize with you, I mean I co-suffer with you. God is there to do it and help us. So God is a loving God, unchanging God. Do you feel as if some of your castles have tumbled? God loves you in spite of your circumstances. In Job 42, verses 1 and 2, we read, "Job replied to the Lord, 'I know that you can do all things. No plan of yours can be thwarted.'" The cross proves God's unchanging love. If for any reason you doubt God's love, look at the cross. Christ died there for us, for all of us, and his love is unchanging. God loves you as you are and wants to help you and save you. Bring your broken dreams and sins to him. Bring and share your worries about concerns, your castles that have tumbled, your dreams that have disappeared are things that he cares about. And again, it's very hard for each one of us to understand how a God, a creator, someone may even not understand how can God, the creator, care about each individual on this earth. And yet we know that God does care. And I believe that the proof of that is that when you pray to God, when you surrender your life to God, when you invite him to come in your life, then he gives you the ability and the strength through the Holy Spirit to deal with these situations. I know someone may say, "Well, that's religious talk. How do you know God cares?" And the other day I was going through some reading, and I came across some atheists writing about God, and they're saying, "How do you know there is a God? There is no God. If there was God, this and that." And they then explain why they're saying that. And you can sense that their despair. They are going through some personal difficulty, and they blaming God, or at least they say there is no God, and yet we know that nothing can take place. Nothing happens if God does not allow it. And we as believers, we who claim to be followers of Christ, must accept the fact. It is a fact. It is exactly what we believe in, that God is in control and God will help us deal with every situation. You may feel right now like hope before all these calamities came to him. Secure and safe, you have enough for the rest of your life and everything is fine. Yet remember Job, what happened to him. Or you may feel like Job, right in the middle of the calamities and the difficulties, and you were despairing, and you're saying, how am I going to deal with this? How am I going to deal with the situation at home, with my son, with my daughter, with my husband, with my wife, with lack of money, or lost my job, and I don't know how to do this? And yet, we must remember Job. God is in control, and God will bless everyone who trusts Him fully and His will. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for once again speaking to us. Lord, we thank you for being so loving and compassionate. I'm sure, Lord, that I did not reflect your love so well this morning. And Lord, if I've said anything, I, as a messenger, that was not according to your will, please erase it from our mind. The messenger is nothing. The message is the important thing in our lives. This morning, may the Holy Spirit touch each one of us and strengthen us and help us. And if there are any here who are going through a difficult period of time because of illness, because of uncertainty of the future, because of unemployment or whatever, please touch them and help them as you helped Job. In your blessed name I pray, amen.